practicing with children. Listening to young people. As adults, we may have the feeling we have much wisdom and experience, while children are still young and know very little. So many generations of parents, teachers, and elder brothers and sisters have considered the opinions of children to be unimportant. They feel that children don't have enough experience, and that what they think or want doesn't matter. Elders may believe that they know what is best for their younger brothers and sisters. This is not necessarily true. When elders haven't yet fully understood or listened deeply to the difficulties and the deep wishes of their younger brothers and sisters, they can't truly love them. Love has to come from understanding. When love isn't based on understanding, it is harmful. Without being aware of it, parents commonly cause their children to suffer, and elder brothers and sisters cause the younger ones to suffer. When we force our children to do what we think is best for them, the communication between ourselves and our children breaks down. When there is no more communication between us, how can we be happy? The most important thing is to keep communication alive between parents and children. When the door of communication has been shut, both parents and children suffer. But when we practice good communication, parents and children will share their lives together as friends, and that is the only way to find true happiness. In a family, we can have a weekly meeting. Sitting together like this, we have an opportunity to discuss issues that are important for our happiness. If a child has a difficulty in school or the grown-ups have a dilemma in the workplace, this can be presented, and the whole family can offer their insight as to how to improve the situation. The family that practices like this is really like a sangha, and a sangha is just like a family, so it is natural if they function in similar ways. We don't have to call ourselves Buddhist to apply these practices in our life. They are simply a matter of bringing peace and joy to our family and our community. Practice. Loving speech and deep listening are two wonderful methods to open the door of communication with children. As parents, you should not use the language of authority, but the language of love when speaking to your children. When you can speak with the language of love and understanding, your children will come to you and tell you their difficulties, suffering, and anxieties. With this kind of communication, you will gain more understanding of your children and be able to love them more. If your love isn't based on understanding, your children won't feel it as love. To truly love, you can say to your child, "My love, do you think that I understand you well enough? Do you think that I understand your difficulties and your suffering? Please tell me. I want to know so that I can love you in such a way that doesn't hurt you." You can say, "Darling, please tell me the truth. Do you think that I understand you? Do I understand your suffering, your difficulties, and your deepest wishes? If I don't yet understand, then please help me to understand. Because if I don't understand, I'll continue to make you suffer in the name of love." This is what we call loving speech. When your child is talking, please practice listening deeply. Sometimes your child will say something that surprises you. It may be the opposite of the way you see things. All the same, listen deeply. Please allow your child to speak freely. Do not cut her off as she is talking or criticize what she says. When you listen deeply with all your heart, for half an hour, 1 hour, or even 3 hours, you'll begin to see her more deeply and understand her more. Although your child is still very small, he has deep insights and his own special needs. You may begin to realize that for a long time you may have been making your child suffer. If he is suffering, then you will suffer too. Walking meditation with children. Walking with children is a wonderful way to practice mindfulness. You may like to take a child's hand as you walk. He will receive your concentration and stability, and you will receive his freshness and innocence. From time to time, he may want to run ahead and then wait for you to catch up. A child is a bell of mindfulness, reminding us how wonderful life is. We can remind children that walking meditation is a wonderful way for them to calm down when they have strong feelings or are upset. We can walk with them, reminding them to pay attention to each step. practice. At Plum Village, I teach the young people a simple verse to practice while walking. They say, oui, 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 as they breathe in, and merci, 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 as they breathe out. Yes, 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 thanks, thanks, thanks. I want them to respond to life, to society, and to the earth in a positive way. They enjoy it very much. I explain walking meditation to them like this. Just allow yourself to be. Allow yourself to enjoy being in the present moment. The earth is so beautiful. Enjoy the planet Earth. You are beautiful too. You are a marvel like the earth. Remember that while you are walking, you are not going anywhere. Yet every step helps you to arrive. To arrive where? To arrive in the present moment. To arrive in the here and now. You don't need anything else to be happy. When children walk with this awareness, they are practicing walking meditation. Helping children with anger and other strong emotions. Emotion is only a storm. It comes and it stays for a while, and then it goes. Children are fully in the center of the storm when it comes. As adults, we can recognize our storm of emotions, smile at it, embrace it, and learn a lot from it. When we are with a child experiencing strong emotions, we need to practice mindful breathing with strong concentration and share this method with the child. Practice. Every time a child is experiencing a strong emotion, you can hold the child in your arms, or just hold their hand and invite them to practice with you. Share with the child your capacity of solidity. Hold my hand. We'll breathe together, okay? Breathing in, I feel my belly expand. Breathing out, I see my belly contract. Expand. Contract. Breathe together very deeply. Breathe together very slowly. There's no problem. You are passing on your capacity of solidity to the child. The child breathing in feels strong. The child breathing out feels light. Breathing in, the child's mind starts to be calm. Breathing out, the child's mouth can have a little smile. Some older children, and children who get angry more often, may like to practice carrying a pebble with them. Then they can go sit near the Buddha, if there is one in your house, or outside under a special tree, on a special rock, or in their room. You can teach them to hold the pebble and say, "Dear Buddha, here is my pebble. I'm going to practice with it when things go wrong in my day. Whenever I'm angry or upset, I will take the pebble in my hand and breathe deeply. I will do this until I calm down." Encourage them to keep the pebble with them. Then when something happens during the day that makes them unhappy, they can reach in their pocket, take hold of the pebble, breathe deeply, and say, "Breathing in, I know that I am angry. Breathing out, I am taking good care of my anger." While they are breathing and saying this, they may still be angry, but they are safe, because they are embracing their anger the way a mother embraces her crying baby. After doing this for a while, their temper will begin to calm down, and they will be able to smile at their anger. Breathing in, I see anger in me. Breathing out, I smile at my anger. When they're able to smile, they can put the pebble back into their pocket for another time. This might be a good time to remind children that when we take care of our anger like this, we are being mindful. Mindfulness acts just like the rays of the sun. Without any effort, the sun shines on everything, and everything changes because of it. When we expose our anger to the light of mindfulness, it will change too, like a flower opening to the sun. You can teach children how to look after their feelings of fear or anger by showing them how to be aware of the rising and falling of their abdomen as they breathe. When children become afraid or angry, if they have forgotten the exercises you showed them, you only have to gently remind them how to practice. Family meals. A few years ago, I asked some children, "What is the purpose of eating breakfast?" One boy replied, "To get energy for the day." Another said, "The purpose of eating breakfast is to eat breakfast." I think the second child is more correct. The purpose of eating is to eat. We do our best to eat at least one meal a day with the whole family. Eating a meal together, we cultivate more harmony and love as a family. Someone in the family can recite the contemplations, or we can sing them together before eating. We use our talent and our creativity to make it pleasant for everyone. Practice. Practice silent meditation, breathing in and out 3 times. Look at one another. Recognize each other's presence, and eat silently for the first 2 minutes. You may like to recite the food contemplations for young people. The first contemplation. This food is the gift of the whole universe, the earth, the sky, the rain, and the sun. The second contemplation. We thank the people who have made this food, especially the farmers, the people at the market, and the cooks. The third contemplation. We only put on our plate as much food as we can eat. The fourth contemplation. We want to chew the food slowly so that we can enjoy it. The fifth contemplation. This food gives us energy to practice being more loving and understanding. The sixth contemplation. We eat this food in order to be healthy and happy, and to love each other as a family. The practice is easy. To be worthy of the food, you only have to eat it mindfully. If you don't eat it mindfully, you're not kind to the food or to the producers of the food. I like to remind myself to eat in moderation. I know food plays an important role in my well-being. That is why I vow to eat only foods that maintain my health and well-being. Both adults and children can practice in this way. Inviting the bell. It's very wonderful to breathe together. It's important that we can breathe mindfully by ourselves, but when the whole family comes together and breathes in and out, it creates a wonderful kind of energy, embracing everyone. Our many hearts become one heart, and our many lungs become one set of lungs. If it happens that someone is angry or there is quarreling in the family, that's a good time to invite the bell to sound. Any member of the family has the right to invite the bell to sound when there's not enough peace in the family. When Big Brother gets angry or Mother is crying, these are times it's very important that someone in the family comes to the bell and asks the bell to sound, so that everyone in the family can practice mindful breathing in and out 3 times. If we practice like that even for 1 week, breathing in and out 9 times in the morning and the evening and whenever there's not enough peace in the family, there will be more calm and harmony in the family. Practice. I have many friends, some very young, who love to practice inviting the bell and listening to the bell. In the morning before they go off to school, they sit down, they invite the bell to sound, and they enjoy breathing in and out. With breakfast, the practice of the bell, and breathing in and out, they can start the day with peace, serenity, and solidity. So instead of wishing the other person, "Have a good day," you can help them begin the good day with the sound of the bell and breathing in and out. And before you go to sleep, you can sit down together as a family and practice the sounds of the bell and breathing in and out together. That would be very beautiful and peaceful. The practice for inviting the bell is the same for children as it is for adults. You bow to the bell, you put the bell on your hand, and you practice breathing in, breathing out, with the poem before you invite the half sound. Use this poem to breathe in and out, in and out. Body, speech, and mind in perfect oneness. I send my heart along with the sound of this bell. May the hearers awaken from forgetfulness and transcend the path of anxiety and sorrow. Then you make the half sound of the bell. Now allow people to have time to prepare themselves, the time of one in-breath and one out-breath. Then you invite a full sound of the bell. After the full sound, there will be breathing in and out 3 times with this poem. Listen, listen. This wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. Listen very deeply and enjoy. That is the practice of peace. And after this moment, invite another full sound of the bell. Breathe in and out three times slowly. Finally, invite the third and the last full sound. Then breathe again three in-breaths and three out-breaths. And after that, you lower the bell and put it on a cushion. A young bellmaster should know that her in-breath and out-breath are shorter than the in-breath and out-breath of the adults. So after inviting the bell to sound, she should enjoy breathing in and out three times and then allow a little bit more time for the adults to enjoy fully their three in and out breaths. She is very kind if she does this, because listening to the bell is the time to enjoy ourselves, to enjoy peace, to enjoy life. I can sit like this and listen to the bell for 1 hour or more, and I enjoy it. It's very healing, very nourishing. Pebble meditation. I like to carry some pebbles with me in my pocket. In my pocket there is no credit card, no money, and no cigarettes. There may be a sheet of paper, a little bell, something like that. These pebbles help remind me that we humans are born as flowers in the garden of humanity. If we don't know how to preserve our freshness, then we suffer, and we do not have enough beauty to offer to the people we love. Practice. Make a little bag and put in the bag four pebbles that you have collected outside. You can all sit in a circle, and one child or person in the family plays the role of bellmaster. After having invited the bell to sound three times and enjoying breathing in and breathing out, pour the pebbles out of the bag and set them on the ground to your left. With your right hand, pick up one pebble and look at it. The first pebble represents a flower. It also represents your own freshness and flower nature. Put the pebble on the palm of your left hand, and put the left hand on the right hand to begin your meditation on flower nature. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. That is not make-believe, because you are a flower in the garden of humanity. See yourself as a flower. It is very helpful to smile during the practice, because a flower is always smiling. Practice flower fresh three times. After that, take the pebble and put it down on the ground to your right. Then take the second pebble and look at it. This pebble represents a mountain. A mountain represents solidity. You are yourself. You are stable, and you are solid. Without solidity, you can't be truly happy. You will be pulled away by provocations, anger, fear, regret, or anxiety. This meditation is best practiced in the sitting position, because in the half lotus or lotus position, your body feels very stable and solid. Even if someone comes and pushes you, you will not fall. After you place the second pebble in your left hand, begin to meditate on the mountain. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. Breathing out, I feel solid. Repeat mountain, solid, three times. When you are solid, you are no longer shaky in your body and in your mind. The third pebble represents still water. From time to time, you see a lake where the water is so still that it reflects exactly what is there. It's so still it can reflect the blue sky, the white clouds, the mountains, the trees. You can aim your camera at the lake and take a picture of the sky and the mountain reflected there just the same. When your mind is calm, it reflects things as they are. You aren't a victim of wrong perceptions. When your mind is disturbed by craving, anger, or jealousy, you perceive things wrongly. Wrong perceptions bring us a lot of anger, fear, violence, and push us to do or to say things that will destroy everything. This practice helps you restore your calm and peace, represented by still water. Breathing in, I see myself as still water. Breathing out, I reflect things as they truly are. Repeat water, reflecting, three times. This is not wishful thinking. With mindful breathing, you can bring peace to your breath, body, and feelings. The fourth pebble represents space and freedom. if you do not have enough space in your heart, it will be very difficult for you to feel happy. If you are arranging flowers, you understand that flowers need space around to radiate their beauty. Each person needs some space as well. If you love someone, one of the most precious things you can offer him is space. And this you cannot buy in the supermarket. Visualize the moon sailing in the sky. The moon has a lot of space around it. That is part of its beauty. Many of the disciples of the Buddha described him as a full moon sailing in the empty sky. Breathing in, I see myself as space. Breathing out, I feel free. Repeat space free 3 times. Each person needs freedom and space. Offer space to the loved ones in your family as well. Without imposing your ideas or ways on the other person, you can offer them the gift of this pebble meditation. In this way, it is possible for you to help remove the worries, fears, and anger in the heart of each person in your family. The Breathing Room. Every house should have a room called the breathing room, or at least a corner of a room reserved for this purpose. In this place, we can put a low table with a flower, a little bell, and enough cushions for everyone in the family to sit on. When we feel uneasy, sad, or angry, we can go into this room, close the door, sit down, invite a sound of the bell, and practice breathing mindfully. When we have breathed like this for 10 or 15 minutes, we begin to feel better. If we do not practice like this, we can lose our temper. Then we may shout or pick a fight with the other person, creating a huge storm in our family. On one summer retreat at Plum Village, I asked a young boy, "My child, when your father speaks in anger, do you have any way to help your father?" The child shook his head. "I do not know what to do. I become very scared and try to run away." When children come to Plum Village, they can learn about the breathing room, so they can help their parents when they become angry. I told the boy, "You can invite your parents into your breathing room to breathe with you." Practice. A breathing room or breathing corner is something a family must agree about in advance. When everyone is feeling happy, this is a good occasion to ask family members to sign an agreement with each other. You could say, "Sometimes we are angry and we say hurtful things to you or to each other. This makes you afraid. Next time this happens, we will go into the breathing room and invite the sound of the bell to remind us all to breathe." If you live with just one child, you can still ask them to sign this agreement with you, so that when you are feeling angry, she has something she can do to help both of you. If at that particular moment the child that you take care of is feeling happy, she will be very eager to agree. As a young child, she is still very fresh. She can use her freshness to help her parents. She can say to either one of her parents, "Follow me into the breathing room and let's breathe together instead of arguing. What do you think?" If only one parent agrees with her, then when the other says something unkind, she can take the parent that agrees by the hand and say to him, "Let's go into the breathing room." When the other parent sees this, it may wake her up. Once you have gone into the breathing room, she has the sound of the bell and the Buddha to protect her. Everyone in the family can sign an agreement that states, "When we hear the sound of the bell in the breathing room, it is the sound of the Buddha calling us, and everyone in the house will stop and breathe. No one will continue to shout after that." The whole family can make this commitment to stop and breathe at the sound of the bell. This is called the agreement on living together in peace and joy. If you can bring this method of practice home, after about 3 months, you will feel that the atmosphere in the family has become much more pleasant. The wounds in the hearts of the children will be soothed, and gradually, they will heal. The Four Mantras. This is the kind of practice I would like everyone to bring home and do every day. A mantra is a magic formula. Every time we pronounce a mantra, we transform the situation right away. We don't have to wait. It is a magic formula we have to recite when the time is appropriate. The condition that makes it effective is our mindfulness and concentration. Otherwise, it will not work. Practice. Practicing the four mantras is the same for adults and children. The first mantra. Darling, I am here for you. You don't have to practice it in Sanskrit or Tibetan. Practice it in your own language. Why do you practice this mantra? Because when you love someone, you have to offer him or her the best you have. And the best that you can offer your beloved one is your true presence. The second mantra. Darling, I know you are there, and I am very happy. To love means to acknowledge the presence of the person you love. You have to have the time if you are too busy. How can you acknowledge his presence? The condition for doing this mantra is that you are there 100%. If you are not, then you cannot recognize the person's presence. When someone loves you, you need that person to recognize that you are there, whether you are young or old. You can only love when you are there, and in order to be there, you have to practice being there. Whether by mindful breathing or mindful walking, any kind of practice that will help you really be there as a free person for the person you love. Because you are there, you are mindful, which is why you notice when the person you love suffers. In the moment you recognize his suffering, you have to practice deeply to be there 100%. Go to him and pronounce the third mantra. The third mantra. Darling, I know you suffer. That's why I'm here for you. When you suffer, you want the person you love to be aware of your suffering. That's very human. That's very natural. If the person you love doesn't know that you suffer, or if he ignores your suffering, you suffer much more. So it is a great relief if the person you love is aware that you're suffering. Before they do anything to help, they suffer less already. This is not the practice of children alone. This is the practice of everyone. And this can make a lot of happiness in the house. Try it for a few weeks and you will see. The situation in the home will be transformed dramatically. The fourth mantra. Darling, I suffer. Please help. The third mantra is practice when the person you love suffers. You practice the fourth mantra when you yourself suffer. You believe the person you love the most has caused your suffering. That's why it is so difficult. When the person you love so much says something or does something that hurts you, you suffer quite a lot. If someone else said or did something, you would not suffer that much. But this is the person you love most in the world, and he just did that to you. He just said that to you. That is why you cannot bear it. You suffer 100 times more. This is when the fourth mantra has to be practiced. You have to go to that person you love the most, who just hurt you very deeply. You go to him or her with full awareness, with full mindfulness and concentration, and you utter the fourth mantra. This is quite difficult. But if you train yourself, you can do it. Is it possible to practice the fourth mantra? It seems that you don't want to do it because you feel you don't need his help. You want help from anyone else, but not him. You want to be independent. I don't need you. Your pride is deeply hurt. That is why the fourth mantra is so important. Go to him, and breathing in and out deeply, become yourself 100% and just open your mouth and say with all your concentration that you suffer and you need his help. In order to be able to practice this, you have to train yourself for some time. You may have a tendency to tell this person that you don't need them. You can survive on your own, completely independent. But if you know how to look at the situation with wisdom, you will see this is an unwise thing to do. Because when we love each other, we need each other, especially when we suffer. Are you so sure your suffering comes from him? Maybe you're wrong. Maybe he has not done that or said that in order to hurt you. Maybe you have misunderstood. Maybe you have a wrong perception. You have to train yourself now in preparation for the next time you suffer so that in that moment you'll be able to practice the fourth mantra. Practice walking meditation. Practice sitting meditation. Practice breathing in and out mindfully to restore yourself. Then go to him and practice the mantra, "Darling, I suffer so much. You are the person I love most in the world. Please help me." Don't let your pride stand between you and him. In true love, there is no room for pride. If pride is still there, you know that you have to practice to transform your love into true love. Children are still young. They have plenty of chances to learn and train themselves for the practice. I am confident that if they are taught and practice right now, it will be very easy for them to practice later on when they suffer, because they think the person they love most has done that to them, has said that to them. I don't think that they are going to use the fourth mantra often, but it is a very important mantra. Maybe they have to use it only once or twice a year, but it is extremely important. Have them write it down and keep it somewhere. And every time they suffer very much, encourage them to go and look for that mantra and try to practice it. The cake in the refrigerator. If we have not yet been able to buy a bell or set up a breathing room at our home, we can use a cake. It is a very special cake that is not made of flour and sugar like a sponge cake. We can keep eating it, and it is never finished. It is called the cake in the refrigerator. Practice. There will come a day when your child is sitting in the living room, and she sees that her parents are about to lose their temper with each other. As soon as the atmosphere becomes heavy and unpleasant, she can use the practice of the cake to restore harmony in your family. First of all, she breathes in and out 3 times to give herself enough courage, and then she looks at her mother and says to her, "Mommy, Mommy." Of course, she can do this with her father, a grandparent, or any other adult that takes care of her as well. Her mother will look at her and ask, "What is it, my child?" And she will say, "I remember that we have a cake in the refrigerator." Whether or not there is really a cake in the refrigerator does not matter. Saying there is a cake in the refrigerator really means, "Parents, don't make each other suffer anymore." When they hear these words, her parents will understand. Her mother will look at her and say, "Quite right. Will you go outside and arrange the chairs for a picnic while I go and fetch the cake and the tea?" When the mother says this, she has already found a way out of the dangerous situation. She can run out onto the porch and wait for her. Her mother now has an opportunity to withdraw from the fight. Before the child spoke up, her mother could not stand up and leave, since it would be very impolite, and it might pour more oil onto the flames of the other parent's anger. Now the mother can go into the kitchen. As she opens the refrigerator to take out the cake and boils the water to make the tea, she can follow her breathing. If there is no real cake in the refrigerator, don't worry. She will find something to substitute for the cake. As she prepares the cake and tea, she can smile the half-smile to feel lighter in body and spirit. While the other parent is sitting alone in the living room, he can begin to practice breathing in mindfulness. Gradually, his hot temper will calm down. After the tea and the cake have been placed on the table, he may walk out slowly onto the porch to join the tea party in an atmosphere that is light and full of understanding. If the parent inside is hesitant to come out, then the child can run into the house, take his hand, and coax him out by saying, "Please come and have some tea and cake with me." Orange meditation. There are some people who eat an orange but don't really eat it. They eat their sorrow, fear, anger, past and future. They are not really present with body and mind united. When we eat an orange, we can make the eating into a meditation. We sit in such a way that we feel comfortable, solid, and we look at the orange in such a way that we can see the orange as a miracle. Concentration is very important. We know that when we eat an ice cream, if we turn on television, we lose the ice cream. We cannot concentrate on our ice cream. Without mindfulness and concentration, we cannot really enjoy ourselves and the orange. Practice. Have the child hold the orange in the palm of his hand, and look at it while breathing in and out so that the orange becomes a reality. If he is not here, totally present, the orange isn't here either. Ask him to see the orange tree, see the orange blossom, see the sun and the rain passing through, and see the tiny fruit form. And now the fruit has grown into a beautiful orange. So just looking and smiling into the orange, he gets in touch with the wonders of life. He sometimes ignores the fact that the orange in the palm of his hand is really a miracle, a wonder of life. There are so many wonders of life inside of him and around him. So when he looks at the orange and smiles to the orange in that way, he really sees the orange in its splendor, in its miraculous nature. And suddenly he himself becomes a miracle, because he is a miracle. He is not something less than a miracle. His presence is a miracle. He is a miracle encountering another miracle. When he looks at the orange deeply, he will be able to see many wonderful things. The sun shining and the rain falling on the orange tree, the orange blossoms, the tiny fruit appearing on the branch, the color of the fruit changing from green to yellow, and then the full-grown orange. Now ask him to slowly begin to peel it, to smell the wonderful scent of the orange peel, to break off a section of the orange and put it into his mouth, to taste its wonderful juice. The orange tree has taken 3, 4, or 6 months to make such an orange for him. Now the orange is ready, and it says, "I am here for you." But if he is not present, he will not hear it. When he is not looking at the orange in the present moment, then the orange is not present either. Being fully present while eating an orange is a delightful experience. Tree hugging. In my home in Plum Village, I planted 3 cedar trees. I planted them about 30 years ago, and now they are very big and beautiful and very refreshing. While I am doing walking meditation, I usually stop in front of one of the trees. I bow to it. It makes me feel happy. I touch the bark with my cheek. I smell the tree. I look up at the beautiful leaves. I feel the strength and freshness of the tree. I breathe in and out deeply. It's very pleasant. And sometimes I stay for a long time just enjoying the lovely tree. When we touch a tree, we receive something beautiful and refreshing back. Trees are wonderful. They are also solid, even in a storm. We can learn a lot from trees. Practice. Have the child find a tree that is especially beautiful to her. Perhaps it's an apple tree, an oak tree, or a pine tree. If she stops and touches a tree deeply, she will feel its wonderful qualities. Breathing deeply will help her touch the tree deeply. Have her breathe in, touch the tree, then breathe out. Do this 3 times. Touching the tree in this way will make her feel refreshed and happy. Then, if she likes, she can hug the tree. Tree hugging is a wonderful practice. When she hugs a tree never refuses. She can rely on a tree. It is dependable. Every time she wants to see it, every time she needs its shade, it is there for her. Today's day. We have all sorts of special days. There's a special day to remember fathers. We call it Father's Day. There's a special day to celebrate our mothers. We call it Mother's Day. There's a New Year's Day, Labor Day, and Earth Day. One day, a young person visiting Plum Village said, "Why not declare today as Today's Day?" And all the children agreed that we should celebrate today and call it Today's Day. Practice. On this day, today's day, don't think about yesterday. Don't think about tomorrow. Only think about today. Today's day is when we live happily in the present moment. When we eat, we know that we are eating. When we drink water, we are aware that it is water we are drinking. When we walk, we really enjoy each step. When we play, we are really present in our play. Today is a wonderful day. Today is the most wonderful day. That does not mean that yesterday was not wonderful, but yesterday is already gone. It does not mean that tomorrow will not be wonderful, but tomorrow is not yet here. Today is the only day available to us today, and we can take good care of it. That is why today is so important, the most important day of our lives. So each morning when the child wakes up, have him decide to make that day the most important day. Before he goes off to school, tell him to sit or lie down, breathe slowly in and out for a few minutes, enjoy his in-breath, enjoy his out-breath, and smile. He is here. He is content. He is peaceful. This is a wonderful way to begin a day. Ask him to try to keep this spirit alive all day, to remember to go back to his breath, to look at other people with loving kindness, to smile and be happy with the gift of life. Have a good day today. This is not only a wish. This is a practice. Conclusion. All these practices have the same basic purpose: to bring our minds back to our bodies, to produce our true presence, and to become fully alive so that everything happens in the light of mindfulness. Each practice in itself is very simple. We breathe in and we breathe out. We make a step in mindfulness. We listen deeply to the ones we love and look closely at the beauty around us. But these simple practices can help us touch our true nature of no birth and no death and no separation. If we want peace in ourselves and in our world, we have to practice. If we don't practice, we don't have enough of the energy of mindfulness to take care of our fear and anger and the fear and anger of our loved ones. Mindfulness practice is essential for our survival, our peace, and our protection. I hope that at least some of the practices in this book resonate with you. All of us, as well as our families, our society, and our world, need the wisdom and insight that comes from practicing mindfulness and looking deeply. In Buddhism, there's a wonderful image of the world, full of bright, shiny jewels. This world is called the Dharmakaya. When we look closely, we can see that the Dharmakaya is our everyday world. We have a rich inheritance, but we don't know it. We behave as if we were poor, a destitute son or daughter. Instead, we can recognize that we have a treasure of enlightenment, understanding, love, and joy inside us. It's time to go back to receive our inheritance. These practices can help us claim it. Our true heritage. The cosmos is filled with precious gems. I want to offer a handful of them to you this morning. Each moment you are alive is a gem, shining through and containing earth and sky, water and clouds. It needs you to breathe gently for the miracles to be displayed. Suddenly you hear the birds singing, the pines chanting, see the flowers blooming, the blue sky, the white clouds, the smile and the marvelous look of your beloved. You, the richest person on earth, we've been going around begging for a living. Stop being the destitute child. Come back and claim your heritage. We should enjoy our happiness and offer it to everyone. Cherish this very moment. Let go of the stream of distress and embrace life fully in your arms. Thich Nhat Hanh. This concludes the reading of Happiness, Essential Mindfulness Practices by Thich Nhat Hanh.